You may be seated. Wow. Time marches on. It's the middle of January already. It's not going to be long before Passover will be here. And we're already in preparations. As was mentioned, we've done some excavating up here on the hill, preparing for a larger parking area and also for some tenting and maybe even some trailer space, which will be coming down the road. We've always had that problem of not having enough here. I was telling a sister before services, we're built on a hill, so we're always dealing with that. Whenever we do something, we got to do quite a bit of excavating to prepare, you know, a spot to do things. So hopefully we'll get that in the works and well on its way, and we'll be prepared for those who would like to come and those who would want to come and tent for the Passover. And I encourage all those who are watching to do that. Prepare now. It isn't that far away. We're not too far from the feast, the first feast of the year, in Yahweh's year. We've gotten past all the paganism, and now we go onward to what really matters, according to Almighty Yahweh. Well, welcome, everybody. Glad that you can make it today. I guess my question today is, are committed fathers an endangered fixture in our culture today? Social scientists find a troubling corollary between absentee fathers and prisons bursting at the seams. They observe that as the family breaks down, mainly because of AWOL fathers, crime and social problems have increased exponentially. They can't build prisons fast enough. We've got a new prison down here at State Capitol. The old one is a museum now, and the new one is a lot bigger, a lot more secure, I guess. But they're constantly doing this all across the country, building more prisons because of our culture, because of misbehavior. Because of misbehavior of youths, of growing up without fathers. Growing up without fathers who were there, guiding them. So where do they end up? Penal institutions. It's really sad when you think about it. It's a testimony to the culture that we're in. Fathers are very important. Some years ago, officials at the Kruger National Park and Game Reserve in South Africa were faced with a growing elephant problem. Too many elephants just overrunning the place. What are they going to do? Well, I guess they decide, well, I know what we can do. We can transport some of these elephants elsewhere to another preserve, to which they did. But because of the elephant's size, the harnesses made to, you know, helicopter these elephants from one place to the other weren't beefy enough for the bigger elephants. So they said, well, okay, we'll just take the females and the young juvenile elephants, transport them. That'll help. One problem solved. But in time, park rangers at the new preserve began to find dead bodies of endangered white rhinos all over the place. They couldn't figure it out. Rhinos appeared to be killed violently with deep puncture wounds. Not much in the wild messes with a rhino. And they couldn't, they were at a loss to figure this out. No hunters were out there shooting them. Okay, so we'll set up some cameras, which they did throughout the preserve. Set up cameras to see what was causing the death of these rhinos. The result was shocking. The culprits turned out to be marauding bands of aggressive juvenile elephants, the same ones that they transported there from that other preserve. A few years later, this happened. The young males were caught on camera, chasing down the rhinos, knocking them over, and gouging them with their tusks. These juvenile elephants were terrorizing the place. Animals all over the park are being terrorized. And it was puzzling to the park rangers because elephants don't act this way. What's going on? Something had gone terribly wrong. Well, studying the situation, they came on a theory. What had been missing from the relocated herd of elephants were the big male dominant bull elephants. They weren't around. They were back at the other park. Now, normally, dominant bulls manage and contain the testosterone-induced frenzy of the younger males. Left without elephant modeling, the rangers theorized that the young elephants were missing the civilizing influence of their elders. So they brought in six of those mature bull elephants to try to solve the problem. Within weeks, that bizarre behavior of those young elephants stopped. It stopped, dead in its tracks. The older bulls let the juveniles know that they were not being elephant-like in their behavior. And in a short time, the younger elephants were following the older bulls around, learning how to be good elephants. Details of what happened to the elephants were paralleled not too long ago in New York City. New York City, a while back, where young men were caught on camera sexually harassing and robbing women and victimizing others in Central Park. Their herd mentality created a sort of frenzy that was both brazen and contagious. In broad daylight, they seemed to compete with each other, even laughing and mugging for the cameras as they assaulted people and robbed passersby. It was not in any sense of the term the behavior of civilized man. Kind of like the knockout game we see now. Young people walk along the sidewalk, see somebody, and go up and slam them in the face, knock them out. They think it's fun. Well, the citizens demanded more police protection, but that was just a Band-Aid solution. That wasn't the real issue. That wasn't the real problem. It didn't go to the root. It was found that the majority of the young men committing these crimes in Central Park grew up in homes without fathers present. Real men protect the vulnerable. They don't assault them. But these youths didn't know much about that because they were never taught by caring and responsible fathers. And they were left then to fend for themselves, learn from the gang how to act. Of course, we just saw how they were taught. Learn from their peers. In this throwaway culture, our society's young men are being tossed away by the thousands into prison systems that swallow them up. Once in prison, the penal system is very hard to get past. 50% of them wind up back in prison again, committing crime after crime. You wonder why we're having so many problems in our society. You know, the strength and health of our culture, of our nation, is built on the essence of the family. A strong family builds a strong nation. If there ever were an Achilles heel in our society today, it would be the family and what's happening to our families. Families are the building blocks of society. You have a dysfunctional family, you're going to have dysfunctional society. That's just the way it is. And the family today is under attack. Isaiah prophesied in chapter 3 and verse 12, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people," says, "they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of your paths." I wonder, when it says women rule over them, over these children, if it's not talking about because fathers aren't there. So mothers have to take over. There's a difference. There's a difference in rearing children for a mother as opposed to a father. There's different elements that each brings to the family. There's a reason we now suffer from weekly mass shootings, high rates of teen suicide, school dropouts in some cities as high as 50% don't graduate. Crime, unhappy children everywhere. There's so many things, there's so many ways that can go wrong with young people today. And it all starts with the parents, mostly with fathers who are AWOL. They're just not there. The kids are left basically with mother and on their own with their peers to figure out life. In the formative years, as the mind is maturing, a child is an ink blotter. It's soaking up everything. Not only, you know, how to work your body and how to, you know, walk and talk and all these things, but socially it's soaking up everything that's happening around them. Children's brains are imprinted each day by both good and bad experiences. What they learn will be with them for a lifetime. Yahweh said in Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So parents, you have an awesome responsibility. Train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is older, he'll remember it. You know, the Amish have a deal where, you know, the kids, they live so differently from society. A lot of them want to get out there and experience it. So I don't know if every Amish group does this, but a lot of them, when you reach 20 or 21, they let you go. 6 months, you go out into the world, have a ball, experience what this world is all about, and then decide if you want more of it or you want to come back. It's been found that like 95% of them come back. They realize this world has nothing for them. They've been trained up in a certain way. The problem is too often is that parents are consumed with their own problems. They don't have enough time for their children. Too often, they have selfish interests. Many parents lack the knowledge and the maturity themselves to raise children. Children having children. A son's father is crucial to his son's development and his perception of what the world is. He's putty. You can mold him one way or the other, either way you want. He emulates his father in every way. You've always heard, you know, children will want to be discussing with another child something one of them might say, well, I don't think you should be doing that. Oh, my dad does. My father allows that. They do what their father does. Not so much even what they say, but they do what the father does. So a father is so crucial to the development of a son and a daughter, depending on the direction he's pointed. His father is his filter through which he perceives the world and how he responds to the world and interacts with the world. What they live and experience is indelibly stamped on that child's mind. If you don't have a mature perspective, you're not going to develop properly in the right way. Whatever their family is like becomes their normal. I look back on my own upbringing, and some of the weird things that I went through as a youth didn't make a lot of sense at the time. Now I look back and say, that makes perfect sense. I know why that happened. And I can put the pieces together, connect the dots, makes a lot of sense. In fifth grade, we had just moved out west. I met one of my best friends out there. And he would invite me to go with the family to the liquor store. He did this a number of times. And I didn't find much excitement in doing that, so I always declined. I didn't care to drive down to the liquor store with his family. I thought it was kind of weird. But now I look back and I connected some dots. Perceptive child that I was, it took years for me to dawn. It dawned on me later, their dad was an alcoholic. I never saw him. He would come home from work, go into his bedroom, shut the door, and you never saw him again. You know, he would get his booze out and go on his binge. He eventually died of liver disease. But for some reason, my friend saw going to the liquor store as a time of joy, I guess. Maybe it was the only time his dad was happy. I don't know. Probably one of those few events in his life when his father and he and his brothers and sisters were treated well. I don't know. Something drew him to want to go with his dad to go buy his alcohol. Well, parents need to understand how deep an imprint they make on their children, their actions, and how they influence and leave indelibly a behavior with their children in the future, girls as well as boys. The importance of fathers in a daughter's life is often misunderstood and sadly neglected. You know, men are usually with the boys, but they don't realize how important men, fathers, are for the girls. From infancy, girls draw conclusions about what men are like from the men in their life. Her father, or the male in her life, whoever that could be, becomes her guidepost for what's expected of men and what to expect about men's attitudes toward women. And she'll carry that impression with her for a lifetime. Her relationship to her mother is her template for what her relationship, I should say, his relationship to her mother is her template for how she can act and will act in the future with a man when she grows up. I can't emphasize enough how important, even in her early years, her father's influence is. Believe it or not, regardless of what happens as a teen and adult, a girl has already created a set of assumptions about what it means to be a woman by the time she is 4 or 5 years old. At each stage of her development, she's watching, she's learning from the women and the men around her, mother and father, to figure out how to be a woman herself and how to fit into relationship with a man. When that learning is positive and helpful for negotiating the world, she'll grow up to be at ease with herself, with who she is. When she is conflicted through trials or weird stuff that happens in the family, negative influences, her relationship with herself and with other women and with men is going to be troubled. It's very important that she has the right example, the right pattern to follow. What all this means for a father is that he's more significant to her life to build a healthy perception than he might realize. He, as her father, is key in her life and for her proper development. Regardless of whether he wants the responsibility, a father's own relationship in the world to other women sets down a template that's going to be played out in her life and for another generation after that as she raises children. Mothers, of course, can offer a certain amount of guidance and fill a certain need in a child, which happens to be on the more sensitive side, I guess you could say, maybe a little more flowery, or I don't know. But men have that influence on making them deal with the world better, deal with the problems and the trials they're going to face. Men take charge and show them how to act and how to respond to these problems in the world and to issues in the world. Men who take their jobs as fathers of a daughter seriously are men who know the importance of following principles, excuse me, to raising emotionally balanced, socially healthy girls. Principles that she can apply to the rest of her life. To be socially balanced, healthy girls and boys who have a love for Yahweh. I remember growing up in my teens back in the 60s. This was before, long before, there were DVDs, you know, online streaming, even cassette tapes. We were out there pretty much in a dry hole out west. There was nobody around who was interested in the truth. My dad had discovered the truth from the radio, and we knew the Sabbath was important, so we had no one to meet with on the Sabbath. No one in the whole town of 50,000, about the size of Jeff City. We couldn't find anybody. We ran newspaper ads. We did everything we could to try to, you know, bring a response, couldn't find anybody. So there are many Sabbaths we just sat there and studied. And my dad got us started on a Bible correspondence course from a group that kept the Sabbath and the feast days. I remember spending half a day on that correspondence course. You know, as a kid, sometimes you're just not up to it. You kind of, oh man, I want to just rest today or something. Uh-uh. There was no getting out of it. We were going to sit up at that table and we were going to study that lesson for that day. You know what? The best thing that ever happened to me. Not because I got into this, the job that I'm in now, but for my own well-being, that was the best thing that ever happened to me. Learn the Bible. Sometimes it takes a little push, and that's where a father comes in. He has to push a little bit. The first principle that a father must attend to in raising and rearing right and adjusted and good daughters is to love her mother. Love her mother. Theodora Hesburgh, former president of Notre Dame, said, showing love to a child's mother is the most important thing a man can do. Of course, aside from the spiritual needs. And it's true. Not all parents have a deep love for each other. There are a lot of parents who are just living day by day and don't have that emotional connection. Regardless, a father needs to show a concern for the mother, to treat the mother with respect and consideration no matter what. It's essential for the child. The child is watching and learning day by day, every day, learning. Even if the mother doesn't return the favor, he can still do the honorable thing and show his daughters that a man takes the high road when it comes to respect for women and his responsibility to his children. Honorable people don't abuse their authority or their power. So you treat everyone with respect. Next thing that men need to do, fathers need to do, is bond with their daughters. Let them attach to you. Girls with a solid sense of self are often their daddy's buddy, at least while they're growing up. Spend regular time with her. Very important. Don't be afraid to take her out for a hike or play a game of basketball or catch. Anybody who knows my grandsons knows that they're really into baseball. So I'm out there playing with them. And this went on for a couple weeks, playing games after work and whatever. All of a sudden, here comes my granddaughter, Faith. She's got a pink baseball glove. And she joins us. So we're out there making a team. She loves it. And her brothers do too. Extra player. Someone else to chase the ball down through the woods, you know. But girls are just as likely to do things that boys do when they're growing up and enjoying it. Let her know you love her with words and hugs that are appropriate for her age. In America, national surveys of adults find that 9 to 28% of women say they experienced some type of sexual abuse or assault in their childhood. The best preventative measure is to teach your daughter about privacy, modesty, and appropriate boundaries when it comes to affection and touch. It's important that they know that. Be interested in what she's learning in school. Pay attention to her interests. Become a part of her life. That is so important to a girl. And boy, same thing. Research shows that the most successful women have generally had fathers who were interested in their intellect and their academics. Another thing, go to her events. You may find you have real interest in what she's doing, girls' basketball or musical recitals or whatever, or theater. If you don't give yourself a pep talk and go when you don't want to, do it anyway. She needs you to be a witness to her talent. She needs your approval. That helps develop her inside. Compliment your children. Girls are often very insecure about how they look. Tell her how nice she looks. Tell her your son how good a job he's doing or has done. when he does a good job. Well, don't be, you know, don't be deceptive about it. If he does a good job, compliment. Genuine statements of approval from dad are one of the key building blocks of a healthy self-image. A brother once told me how his father never complimented him. He was having emotional problems. I mean, he was 20-some years old. And I was invited over to just talk with him. And so he opened up to me and said, my dad never once told me I did anything right. As a matter of fact, everything I did, he criticized. He jumped on me for everything. And knowing his dad, I believe it. It's the kind of man he was. And that hurt that son like you wouldn't believe. He carried that scar with him the rest of his life. It's so important to praise children when they do a good job. And even if they don't do such a good job, praise them for giving it a good try. Give them something, some hope to improve upon, and not just drill them into the ground. That's not going to do anything. Found out later that his dad had his own issues, and now I could understand why he was that way. Also, you could show your daughter that real men can negotiate and work out problems. They don't have to, you know, browbeat a wife. Don't have to, you know, run out of the room screaming or whatever they do. If you disagree with her mother, let her daughter see you work through the thing and calm, collective thing, you know, come to a resolution. If you do that, she's less likely to fall for a bully later on in her life. Why is it that girls are attracted to some of these guys who are nothing but abusive? It's because that's what they grew up with. That's the only thing they know. So they attach to that personality. Treat all women the way you want your daughter to be treated someday. Take care with what you say about women that you work with, women in your life, women in the family, even the woman driving in the car in the next lane. Watch what you say. Your daughter is listening. Your attitude about women is part of the attitude she's developing about herself. Negative attitudes aren't going to do any good. Treat her the way you want her future partner to treat her. The way you interact with your daughter is what she becomes later on in relating to men. Treat her with respect, dignity, and caring and affection, and she will expect the same thing from a mate and not get into situations that she'll regret for the rest of her life. Be the kind of man you want your daughter to marry. Make no mistake, you're the model for manhood to your daughter. Your daughter is likely to look for the same individual, same type of individual you are if you're, no matter what way you are. If you want her to find a man who's faithful to his partner, who is honest, hardworking, who knows how to have fun, who uses money wisely, who doesn't abuse people, drugs, alcohol, then you need to be that kind of man. My grandfather was an alcoholic, and I didn't learn that until probably 10 years ago. I think I related this before. The impression, the memory that my dad had of his dad was this man coming home drunk and my dad running up as fast as he could up to his upstairs bedroom and hiding under the bed and seeing his hand coming out trying to grab him so he could beat him. That was his impression of his dad. His dad died like when he was 4 years old. But that's what he remembers about his dad. You don't believe the impression, the stamp that you put on your children by the way you act. It's very important that we treat children properly the way Yahweh would have us do. If you want her to find a man who's faithful, who is honest and hardworking, then be that man. Do as I do, not as I say, doesn't usually work. They're going to do as you do. So you can't be a hypocrite. Children aren't that dumb. More important of all, lead a devout life that is a true love for Yahweh. Living by scriptural principles, the best thing you could do as a father and a mother. Teach your children the word when they're young, instill within them a love for Yahweh. So important. Spend time with them in the Word. This will show better than anything the importance of the Word to you, which means it's important to them too. A child who has a love and respect for Yahweh and a good foundation in His Word is going to figure out a lot of the problems of life on his own or her own. They're going to have that sense inside, that conscience that says, that isn't right, I'm not going to go there. Children that don't have that, don't have that safety net, are going to get involved in those things. They're going to be devastating, possibly later on. Could even end them up in the penal system. They're not going to get snarled into that terrible predicament that so many do, who lack an underpinning of right and wrong that comes from Yahweh's Word. It's also going to make your job as a parent a lot easier, because they're not going to get into these situations. They're going to follow what they know is right. Experience from many bad parenting examples that prove that you must have your children obey willingly and not out of fear. I've seen, I don't know how many ministers who you'd think would have it down, raise poor children. Children that leave the faith eventually. Why? Why? Why do they leave the faith having grown up in it their whole life? Because it wasn't in their heart. They did it because dad said so. They did it because mom said so. But they didn't show. They didn't show from a desire that they need to live these precepts of the Scripture, to live Yahweh's Word. They did it out of fear. And as soon as they had the chance, they bolted. They were gone. Iron-fisted. I talked with a gal. This man was the ultimate. I remember them years ago coming to the feast. There was no more of an iron-fisted dad who wanted his family in the truth than this guy. And I mean, he was something else. So I was surprised when she calls me and says, she basically left the principles of Scripture and now just relies on grace. Because the man simply didn't instill in her heart and in the heart of her children, I suppose, what it really means to love Yahweh. So she went the opposite way instead. Complete reversal. 180 going the other way. Throwing out the precepts of Scripture and just saying, it doesn't matter. I have grace now. And it was really sad to hear. But I can see why she did it. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying how he brought his family up was right. You have to have balance. You have to have respect for the family, the children. You have to have limits, certainly, of course. But to come bearing down on them every day, so they're barely, I mean, they weren't that far from wearing burkas. I mean, it was something else. I felt so sorry for them. And look at the result. What good did it do? For her. She did a complete reversal. A child has to have love and respect for Yahweh, and a good foundation of that will come through the parents. They won't get snarled into the terrible things that children get into, the drugs and the pregnancies and so forth that they face, and then they got more problems on top of that. Just follow Yahweh. Sometimes preachers' kids have the worst problem because the desire simply wasn't in them. The father was so busy doing everything else, always involved in someone else's life, forgetting his own family's life, forgetting his own children's life. He's too busy. Can't do that. You got to take time for your own family. And it's easy to get into. It's easy to get into that situation. Paul in Colossians 3:20 so that a child's obedience to his or her parents is well-pleasing to Yahweh. Those children are a blessing to you, not a source of continual heartache, because they've got it down right. They've been brought up correctly in the fear and admonition of Yahweh. They love Yahweh. They want to please Him Proverbs 15, 5 and 20 says, "A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regards reproof is prudent. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother." You get him started on the wrong foot, you're just asking for your own problems. You're asking for trials in your own life. Why put yourself through it? Why not get them started right and avoid all the problems that you're going to face because your children go wayward because you didn't pay attention? You were too busy living your own life. Mistakes have a tendency to perpetuate through succeeding generations. Again, children learn from their parents. They pass that on to their children, who pass it on to their children. A father that beats his children are going to have children that beat their children. That's just the way it is. A child who grows up in a broken home will likely have the same when they grow up. One of our goals here in this ministry is to stop the cycle of problem children and marriages by teaching the precepts of Scripture, but from the right perspective, from a desire, not from fear, not from because somebody in the pulpit said so, but because I see it in my scriptures, I know it's right, Yahweh says it's right, and it works, you know, it works. So that's what we're trying to do. We're not browbeating anybody because they have problems like that. We're trying to help them get out of it and avoid future ones. That's all we can do. But the heart has to be involved. It has to be there to make a difference in your life and the life of your sons and daughters. It takes a caring parent. And when discuss marriage with potential candidates, we explain to them what it's going to be like to live together as husband and wife and to raise right children. It's a full-time job. Sometimes you don't have full time to devote to it, especially when you're working and all that. But you've got to talk with your children. That's number one. Talk with your children. Communicate with them day in and day out. Discuss their fears, their problems, their issues. Be right there always, and you're not going to make a mistake. Teach them on the right admonition of Yahweh, and it'll work. So try it Yahweh's way. Prove him now herewith, and see whether his ways make an amazing difference in your happiness, the happiness of your family, and the success of your children. It'll work. Guarantee it. May Yahweh bless you.